I represent the Welfare Parent Support Group.
Can you pull that down till we can hear better? Great.
Okay. The Welfare Parent Support Group does deal with lower-income women primarily. There are also their children and sometimes their spouses, but mostly it's the women that we speak to. The clients and the members of our organization have been discussing this case during the 8 months from time to time. We never really considered ourselves as becoming involved until the last session of the Women's Commission. The general reflection of this part of the community is to us a lack of trust in the results so far, the feeling that the independent investigation would be necessary for them to feel that the matter had been done justice and that something had been done about removing the officer who was accused from dealing with the public until that investigation was completed and he was either cleared or assumed guilty. And I just wanted to let you know that I hear these responses from this area of the community. Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Robert Norris. I work with a group called Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. You have a resolution before you concerning a particular officer, Butchie Baker. The real question here is citizen control over the police and the willingness of public officials, specifically city council members, to deal with ongoing cover-up and abuse. And it is a matter of cover-up. There are individuals sitting on the city council now, the mayor, Councilmember Kennedy, Councilmember Rittenhouse, from whom cries of horror issued last November when this matter was courageously broken by the Coalition for a Civilian Police Review Board at a public press conference. Let's not have any prior judgments, shouted these council members, outraged that this matter was brought to public light before investigation. Yet here we are, 8 months later, and nothing has happened. No action has been taken. No police review. Maybe a smiling matter, Don. I don't think so. Baker is back on the streets. I'd like to finish.
I'd like to remind you that you need to address
your... You're taking up my time, Don. You're taking up my time. Let me finish. Let me finish my speech.
You do not let me finish speaking. You will be asked to leave the podium and you'll...
Time.
You need to address your comments to the whole council and not to me.
There is a First Amendment here, and I will name names if I feel it is appropriate. And if your name comes up, it will come up. I'm going to continue.
Mr. Norris, step away from the microphone
No.
or you'll be arrested.
That's an inappropriate decision, Don. You know that. Let me finish my speech.
Mr. Norris, do not direct your comments towards individual council members.
It wastes the council's time to engage in this kind of discussion. I'm going to continue my speech. There was a demonstration 3 months ago at which people demonstrated against police abuse as a consequence of clearly unjust verdicts in the Rodney King case. At that time, the mayor, I understood, committed himself to strong police review. Yet at that very same demonstration, Officer Baker was present in plain clothes surveilling demonstrators, a situation which, had it been revealed, might have led to a riot. These were angry people at this demonstration. I am unfortunately confident that this council is going to do nothing but push papers, establish deadlock committees, and then go off on vacation. I would hope that that's not true, but I'm afraid that it's going to be true. Homeless people, some of whom Baker abused, asked a council member recently to act to curb police abuse, and the response of this council member was not to talk to the people who were abused, but to go directly to the police chief. This is the mentality of this council. Another independent spirit here in a blue business suit tonight assures us that we have no crisis in the police department, no emergency, so police review subcommittee meetings can wait until he takes a vacation, which he took before this council meeting.
Your time is up.
I will take another minute because I was interrupted. In my mind, This Baker proposal is another half measure, another chance for obfuscation by committee, another chance for delay and face-saving. The proposal is not that Baker be jailed. It's not that he be denied wages. It's not that he be fined or even that he be charged with a crime. This is simply for the benefit of the doubt be given to the public and the nine women who suffered injustice at his hands. But anger is building in this community, and it may be time to throw the hitherto gentle and genteel liberals, ordinary folks, and potential Baker victims a small bone before they set up their own tribunals and self-defense forces. One final question.
4 minutes is up.
Is it true that Officer Baker has been promoted to plainclothes detective? Can anyone answer this question? Thank you.
The next speaker is Lori of the Union for the Homeless.
Hi, my name is Lori Falky, and I've been working with Santa Cruz Union of the Homeless. Police abuse in Santa Cruz against the homeless community is not a frequent topic or focus of attention in this community. Is it that the homeless are too unpopular or too unsightly a group to champion at this time? The Santa Cruz Union of the Homeless feels otherwise. We would like the issue to be put in the forefront. Officer Baker has not only been abusive to women, he has often mistreated homeless people without apparent sanction from his superiors. Tonight, I bring to your attention several cases. In the summer of 1989, in a case of selective enforcement against a homeless organizer, Baker towed Robert Norris's vehicle from private property and then lied in court about whether he had previously known Norris. In the winter of 1989, Baker verbally threatened activist Mike Carrero, saying, "It wouldn't be healthy for you to be caught down a back alley. You could wind up getting hurt." In April of 1990, Officer Baker ticketed homeless activist Norman Gross, who's here with us tonight, 3 times in 7 hours at the post office homeless table vigil, and then put him in jail. Norman's crime was sleeping and wrapping himself in blankets against the cold. Norman's charges were dismissed because Baker never appeared in court. In June of 1990, Baker drove away activist Barbara Lopez from the homeless table with threats of arrest and then confiscated backpacks, political literature, and other property. In court later that month, Baker was publicly accused of lying under oath by attorney Ray Grunich when Baker denied threatening any arrests. The 7 complaints were subsequently filed by homeless activists and then ignored or dismissed by the department. In the late summer of 1990, Baker arrested 2 homeless activists for sleeping under the eaves of the courthouse in another case that disappeared before reaching court. The men, however, suffered handcuffing, booking, and jailing. In October of 1990, Baker was one of the few police to go out of his way to harass the Coalition for a Safe Place to Sleep's City Hall sleep out. 2 days after it ended, he targeted activists Pete Pasco and Mike Hobson for sleeping, arresting them as well on charges that are always treated as non-arrestable infractions. The final example I have documented is that in 1991, Baker harassed those at the Town Clock Peace Vigil, which was wrongly called a homeless encampment because some of the dedicated peace activists there were also homeless. It was his determination to harass and jail Brian Woods and Sarah Hillman, 2 homeless people, on charges of begging that finally moved some of the attorneys that are present here tonight to seek to expose in open court Baker's record of misconduct.
Your time is up.
Yes, time is limited. However, we would like to present documentation of more charges. We want to break the silence around these issues, and we believe that Baker should be suspended for his abusive behavior, and in addition, that the superiors who form and oversee the ongoing anti-homeless policies that encourage and institutionalize police abuse must be held to account. Thank you.
Could I ask you a question? Just, you know, you made a lot of pretty serious accusations. Are those things you have real knowledge of yourself, like the different things that you're accusing Officer Baker of, that you just read to us?
Could you restate that? I'm not sure I understand that question.
I mean, do you have some kind of knowledge? I mean, I just feel like it's very you know, this is a very dangerous kind of situation for you to be making very strong allegations against a, you know, a police officer. And in this context, and I'm just wondering if you would, you have some evidence to that, you know, yourself. I mean, are you just...
Court of law. Why is she in danger? It's always dangerous. I'm just
asking you if you, you know...
Why don't you arrest the rest of us also? Arrest the rest of us also.
I'm speaking on knowledge, which has been taken from just oral accounts from people who were documented. These are documented informally, of course, but to be presented and to be heard, because we believe that people should be heard.
Right. No, it's fine. I just wanted to get a sense of the characteristics
from oral,
of those. Your
informal interviews, situations like that.
If the members of the public who are not at the microphone now can't restrain themselves, they will be asked to leave the chamber. Go ahead.
So does that answer the question?
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
The next speaker is Dave Jacobs, and then Norman Gross, and...
It's funny, the last speaker is to be asked to document something that I came up here to talk about. I have personal knowledge. I'm going to testify about it in court. And merely because the previous speaker was not personal knowledge, as in a court in law personal knowledge, doesn't mean that the material that was given to her isn't valid. I have listened to the district attorney give a very slick presentation on how Officer Baker isn't guilty. Amongst it was, he said, 400 hours of investigative time was put into it and many other things. Talked about how they investigated what went on at, from the complaints of one where there was a resisting arrest trial involved. I was at that resisting arrest trial. I personally looked at the court case file where the transcript of that file would be filed, the original copy would be filed, if the district attorney had actually bothered to find out what was testified to at that trial. No such transcript has ever been made. I was at the peace vigil at the town clock last year, as you are no doubt aware, because I've been here to talk to you before, and I saw Butch Baker do many horrible things. I saw him participate with other police officers in beating up a drunken person because the drunken person would not drop his cigarette on the ground. I saw Baker come by and harass people at the peace vigil for 5 and 10 minutes at 2 o'clock in the morning over the loudspeaker of his patrol car, which is a crime for anybody to use the loudspeaker at that time, even for a police officer, unless there's a valid emergency or law enforcement need for it. And harassing people is not a very valid emergency or law enforcement need. The reason why Baker does this is because you people have let him get away with it for a long time. The reason why Baker does it is because the police department of this city is right, from Chief Bassett down, with people that have no respect for human rights, no respect for constitutional rights, and no respect for the law. They abuse it day in and day out. Officer Baker needs to have an independent investigator investigate him, and that investigator should have city prosecutorial powers. And yes, the city can prosecute. I'm being prosecuted by a city prosecutor right this very moment. Every Friday afternoon, I go into trial, and there's a city prosecutor sitting there. Baker's to be suspended. He's to be investigated by a delegated prosecutor of the city. And if the city prosecutor finds the sufficient evidence, then cease to prosecute him. Cease to bring to you any job sanctions that should be done to him, and you guys should proceed on this. Like I said, I listened to Baker's testimony at that trial. His justification for beating up one of the participants, one of the people he arrested that day, was that his knees were injured. In fact, he was scheduled for knee surgery in a few months, and he was going to be off duty for 6 months because of this knee surgery. Not only did he not... I'll just conclude. Not only did he not go on medical leave for 6 months, but any police officer whose knees are so severely damaged that he has to fall on somebody to protect his needs. Should have been a medical leave. There are so many lies. There is so much bullbippy going on with your police department. And I say bullbippy to be polite. That you people had better, for the sake of your own human consciousness, pay attention and do something now.
Thank you, Mr. President. The next speaker, next two speakers after Mr. Gross is Ricardo McKee and Vinay Luchan.
I was up by the post office back in 89, and I see people beat up by the post office. Baba, myself, Pete Pascoe, and a couple other people got wheelbarrowed by cops, kickers. I had about 50 captain kickers up there by the post office. And I know some people have been beat up and handcuffed on soul kites. And one time when I got arrested up by the post office, Dan Baker was there. He hassled me, and I had to take off, sleep over by county courthouse. I got three captain kickers in one night by Butcher Baker, by other cops on a peace force. I say those peace departments should be keen up now and hire a preservation peace source, investigate these things so nobody else get beaten up in Santa Cruz. I think a kind source now here in Santa Cruz so the peace, the food board. And you guys got to get on the board and keen up this peace department so everybody else get beat up in this town. That's all I got to say. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Ricardo McKee, and I'm a Latino member of the Santa Cruz community. I'm here to express my outrage to the results of the investigation on Officer Baker, and my disappointment with the district attorney's office in response with this issue. A Latino woman who dialed 911, who have an emergency 2 years ago, was harassed by a police officer when he responded to her call. We have a meeting, we have 15 Latino representatives, 15 members of different agencies here in Santa Cruz, and we have a meeting with the district attorney's office, and we left home with the promise of an investigation and a follow-up. 2 years have gone by and we haven't heard anything about this. As you can see, it's not the first time that we address our city leaders with this kind of issues. It's not the first time that we have come to a dead end. Thanks.
Thank you.
Good evening, Honored Mayor, City Council members. My name is Reverend Vinay Luchon. I'm a priest and theologian. I'm here to urge you to give a vote of confidence to the Commission for the Prevention of Violence Against Women's recommendation. I'm also here as a member in support of Civilian Police Review Board, and I have a letter which I would like to read to you at this time concerning my concerns. To the Honorable Mayor Don Lane and the City Council, I support the formation of a Civilian Police Review Board because I believe that Civilian Police Review and Oversight Commission / boards are a sound democratic idea. The democratic politic of having municipal officers accountable to the citizenry is one of the founding principles of our nation, a principle which safeguards the citizenry from the arrogance and self-serving antics inherent in the negativity of human nature. The people shall govern is the best dictum that we have of ensuring that our democracy would not become overwrought with inconsistencies and personal ethics to the contrary. Moreover, I support the formation of a police review board based on the principles of liberation theology, which admonishes us all to liberate ourselves and our institution from the inhumane and dictatorial habits which are characteristics of our time and history. The politic of liberation theology states clearly that each one of us are responsible and accountable to one another for the security of the collective whole and the well-being of the one inherent in the democratic process. Liberation theology rejects the classic classist structure which humankind have created, and in its place opt for universal security. A principle of universal security mandates that well-being, life, must be and can be secured for everyone and the life process as a whole. A new politic is emerging among us, the politic of human security, human rights, and universal security, an all-inclusive affirmation of the democratic process. The idea of a civilian police review board oversight of commission fits in quite well with the new political responsibilities and the aspirations and determinations of the people to secure themselves from threats predicated by the old-style bureau, which is answerable only to themselves.
Your time is up.
I have a commitment in closing. I have a commitment to an agenda which is to the citizenry of Santa Cruz to do all that I can to work for the formulation of a police review board. I also would like to suggest that you recognize that there is a strong constituency here in support of a community of civilian police review board, and I ask that those who are in support of that stand so that they may be seen by you. And if they are already standing, raise their hand so that may be known.
Get the picture? Arrest them immediately.
I thank you for hearing me out.
Thank you. This is, I wanted to clarify that I got a note that prompted me to mention this for those of you who came. I know there was some publicity in urging people to come to speak about the issue of police review, which is not what we're, that, believe it or not, that isn't the item we're dealing with right now, and that isn't on our agenda. If you cannot restrain yourself from calling out, I will ask you to leave the chambers or have you removed. We do not operate based on the fact that people yell out from the audience. The item before us is the recommendations of the Commission for the Prevention of Violence Against Women concerning the allegations of misconduct, and we are dealing with that. We will have oral communications later, and people who came to talk about the larger issue of civilian review will have an opportunity, along with members of the public who came to speak on other issues, to do that during that period. So that is why we have divided it up this way. This is an agenda item. The civilian review issue is an open item for any member of the public to discuss during oral communications.
I've got a question, a point of clarification. Why, when it was advertised and we knew that lots of people would show up, being in a small room where half the people are excluded, because the police are at the door saying they can't come?
It's because an organization in the community advertised it, and the council had no way of anticipating how many people would be here, and we don't usually plan to have our meetings in the Civic Auditorium. It takes quite a bit of notice and organization for us to do that. We do, as you well know, those of you who follow the City Council, frequently meet in the Civic when we have good notice that there's going to be a big crowd. This was not a situation that was called to my attention until just a few days ago, and I apologize that that happened. But there really isn't any way we can do it at the last minute, and it's unfortunate. We do have a microphone outside, a loudspeaker so people outside can hear. We tried to make accommodations so that people who were here for a later item might go away temporarily so that those who are here now would be able to participate. We've made every effort we can. I'm sorry it didn't work as smoothly as it might have. So this matter is before the council for discussion. Ms. Byers.
What if there's someone here from the commission that could come and answer a question? I know the chair had to leave, but is there someone else that...
My name is Jessica Delgado.
I guess what I'm interested in what you went into a public meeting that evening, and I think I had some perception of what may occur, that there wouldn't be anything on the agenda. Would you just walk through the thinking that you arrived at this particular recommendation?
Well, actually, the matter has been before the commission for several months. I would say probably in the last two or three meetings that there has been more action that has taken place and an increase in activity with our meetings with the police department and such. The issue's been on our agenda, but we haven't had a whole lot of information with which to really make decisions about recommendations for policy. And also, we've spent a whole lot of time trying to figure out what our mandate is and how it's appropriate for us to act. At this particular meeting, we heard the district attorney's presentation, or his presentation around his presentation for the grand jury. Also, the police subcommittee for the commission has met with Steve Belcher and Jack Bassett and several other people. Essentially, we still feel somewhat stuck, I guess, about where... What is it? And which is why we've come to you and are advising you to investigate or to view the documents of the investigation, because there were two investigations happening around the allegations, one being the criminal investigation with the district attorney's office and the other being the administrative investigation. And we have tended to feel like, although we've certainly used the testimony from Art Danner in having some clarifications about the law and how it applied, that our focus is more around the administrative policies of Santa Cruz Police Department, specifically searches, cross-gender searches. And in light of that, we felt like we needed to have someone, if not us, take a look at those investigation or investigative reports in order to get a clear sense of what policy is. Art Danner did refer to, or John Hopkins in his memo to Art Danner, referred to the lack of consistency in law enforcement agencies, particularly in this county, about cross-gender searches or strip searches. And given that, we really feel like we need to take a look at it, because the commission is very firm that illegal strip searches are sexual assaults or do constitute sexual harassment.
Okay, thank you.
And are there any further questions for the commission representatives? There may yet be some more, but I'm not sure. Ms. Yokoyama, this is a question
for the commission
representatives.
As you mentioned, there is a criminal investigation going on, and the results have been announced. There is also an administrative one. And are you privy to what the administrative investigation results are, or are you not interested?
We are interested, which is why one of our recommendations is requesting that you access those.
Okay. I'm assuming that the results are going to be public. I mean, we're all waiting for those, too.
My understanding, and I think that the Sentinel article today says that those documents are confidential. I'm not sure if I'm clear on that. My understanding has been thus far that the answer is no.
So your recommendation is based on that kind of an assumption, that the administrative report would not be available to the public?
Right.
I guess I'd like to ask a question, because it's kind of one of the areas that's troubling me the most, because I have heard comments which I take pretty seriously, and I'll get into sort of how I hope to address that later, about sort of the presentation of the district attorney to the grand jury, and also to you, kind of a certain attitude that you were very concerned about, which, you know, and I share some concern about that. I think that's a pretty important issue. And you heard from the DA, so you had a chance to kind of make that assessment about that. What I don't know about, and I'm curious about, is your knowledge or investigation, I don't mean that in a formal sense, but what this sort of the role of the grand jury in this, they were, I mean, clearly the criticism has to do with the DA's presentation. What was your, in a sense, the grand jury probably would claim they are an independent reviewer, and they came to a conclusion that obviously was dissatisfying for people, and there may be, in a sense, it may have been affected by the DA's presentation. I think that's a good question. But what, in a sense, that seems to have been brushed aside a little more than I feel comfortable with. And how do you assess their role in this?
Well, we were brushed aside around those issues as well. And my understanding, according to the district attorney, is that everything that happened in that room is confidential. When we inquired about the composition of the grand jury to get a better sense of what that looked like, we were not given a direct answer at all.
Ms. Brooks, you feel free to...
Well, I would say that the district attorney was looking at a very specific criminal allegation, and we're talking about policies within the police department.
Which is one of the things that I think really came out of our last meeting, was really understanding that there's a distinction. And also what was troubling for us, and I think what really motivated us to come to you, is that it legally, for me, it makes sense why the allegations don't fall in.
Part of the commission's work is working with the police department. Have they, and what you were reviewing is really whether there was a criminal case here, but also reviewing policy, the policy that the police department has about how they do the searches. Have you had any discussion with the police department or heard any unwillingness that they're unwilling to review those policies with you and involve the commission in reviewing those policies?
No, I would have to say that the police have been very forthcoming that they are willing to review those policies with us. They've provided us with those policies and have seemingly been open to us having input on that particular thing, that particular part of this.
So if the policies weren't sufficient in the past, at least now they've approached the Commission for the Prevention of Violence Towards Women and are willing to involve them at this level, we don't know how far it's gone yet, in reviewing those policies and improving those policies, hopefully.
Correct.
And can we talk about the DA doing last week?
Sure.
The DA also, a few days after our meeting, presented us, or the DA's office presented us with a proposal for a unified approach to cross-gender strip searches countywide. So...
A unified approach so that you could have input into developing that, or just there's existing policy?
Yes, they are accepting feedback from us. There is not existing policy.
Catherine? Some terms were used. I mean, my understanding, the grand jury was dealing with criminal.
Yes.
I guess I'm reading into that. What you're asking, or we're looking at, is just employee misconduct.
Yes.
Possible.
Yes.
That's employee misconduct. And I guess that's where the leap is.
John, could I ask, is the chief here?
I wanted to note as well that the other thing that has been complicated for us is that we traditionally deal with women whose alleged perpetrators are, you know, citizens, regular people, I guess. And it's very challenging for us to look at where our mandate is when we're talking about the alleged person is someone who's in power and someone who maybe has some different... I don't know.
Values.
I think you know what I mean.
I wanted to ask the chief a couple of questions. I think that, you know, we're hearing a lot of accusations, and even tonight, something that's been I guess, and we, as a council, have had privy to some of the reports that perhaps the commission hasn't had, but the district attorney has investigated this, and the grand jury has investigated it, and I heard Ms. Marr say she didn't even want the attorney general to investigate it. But I'm curious from your standpoint, and feel free not to answer if you don't. So far, we're dealing with some accusations which are being rather thoroughly investigated. In fact, it's taken several months. Is that true?
Yes.
And you feel right now that we need any independent investigation?
Of course not.
Well,
depends on the purpose. The purpose that's been identified so far, I would say no.
And so far, and maybe I shouldn't ask you, they're talking about different kinds of searches, and the ones that I read, as far as I know as a physician, did not violate what I understand with the law. Is that possible?
I hesitate only because certain information is public information, and I can say that the grand jury and the district attorney has reviewed the cases and the behavior in terms of any violation of law, and they came back and said there's been no violation of law. If there are other issues than that, our role will be looking at it in terms of policy and procedure. If there's other issues than that, there is remedy in the civil courts where the evidence is not beyond a reasonable doubt. It's preponderance of evidence. There's other avenues. In terms of another review, it would be for what purpose? I mean, if you might want another review for a particular purpose, but for those issues that I've heard so far, to answer your question, my answer would be no.
And several people from the commission have said that there has been some policy changes, or there are some changes in effect that may make it county-wide as far as...
Yes, one of the issues that came out of this whole process was a really in-depth study of how our policies are, what guidelines we're giving our officers out there, both male and female. And I took the issue to the County Chiefs Association. There's an interest in adopting a policy countywide for all agencies to use, and that study's going on. We're going to probably come out of this with much more detailed guidelines in terms of searching and arrest situations.
Well, I still feel that I appreciate the commission bringing this to the council, but I'm not ready to follow the recommendation at this time. And I think I think Ms. Brooks say that every woman should have respect, and I think that's true of men. I think that we're still in a era where both men and women should have equal respect, and I'm not going to support the recommendation this time.
That's a good turning
investigation. Garbage in, garbage out.
Do you want to have a comment?
Any other questions?
Well, we'll see.
Oh, okay.
No, I'll wait. I don't believe there is. So you should.
Chief was addressing the mayor, and he wasn't threatened with arrest.
If people can't restrain themselves from yelling out from the audience, please go out the door right now. Just go out the door. We don't need it.
I think you do need it. All through.
We may need it, but we're going to remove people who can't abide by the rules of the council meeting, and you can go speak outside if you can't speak in within the rules of the council meeting. Ms. Byers.
I'm just ready to make a comment, and that's just for the
please
questions.
Do. Okay. I don't know what you're waiting for.
I actually do have some
questions.
This is for Ms. Brooks. As you charge as the Commission for the Prevention of Violence Against Women,
I'm very concerned about your initial statements in your report that women have a lack of trust in reporting violence against themselves to authorities, and that because of this investigation and the results, that you feel that this will have even greater detriment in the community as far as reporting.
This is our primary concern. That's our very primary concern, that that public confidence, I don't know what the truth is in this matter, and I don't have the information available to me as a commissioner, and women in our community don't have that information available to them. And it looks like 9 women came forward with allegations of misconduct. Those allegations may or may not have been criminally founded. But it looks like those women are not being believed. And that's my fear. That's the commission's fear, is that this perception goes forth into the community. And I just think that further review by yourselves or by the commission could help to lay those fears to rest. That may not be enough. That may not be enough to satisfy everyone. And, you know, I don't know. We are simply trying to maintain the standard that women feel comfortable coming forward to the police to present their sexual assault or domestic violence claims or whatever.
What in this particular investigation to this point and in the results have led you to feel that there has been a change? Just the disclosure of the district attorney's investigation, the results, or the way in which the investigation was carried out?
The outcome of the district attorney's investigation that really brought questions to the commission were the idea of the credibility of the witnesses being discounted. And that's kind of alarming to us, that because these women have, were being charged with other criminal charges, that they wouldn't be believed on their charges of sexual harassment or sexual, improper searches and that. There was another part of your question I was going to ask. Oh, and then as far as the police's investigation, all we know is that we're not going to have access to that information. And we've been all along kind of pushing along for that, and have not really gotten a final answer until last week, or maybe 2 weeks ago, that we would not have access to that information. So knowing that we know now possibly all that we will know, and that the council won't be meeting again until September, the commission won't be meeting again until September, we felt it's taken long enough, so it was time to bring it to the council.
Thank you.